unreservedly apologize to everyone for my actions.
He had some valuable cum, Ed.
Yeah, I think it's a nice looking dong.
Ex-roommate Ding 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 used to sex Steve Bing. Steve.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm super happy that you are listening to me through your headphones or on your computer or in your car. That gives me tremendous pleasure. And I'm really stoked that you're here for episode 195 of the show. That's a lot. Primarily, nearly every single one posted on a Wednesday morning. Just as a rule, that's when you can expect it. Not always, but pretty much always. If you would like to reach out, you may. You can do that via email, which is the seems to be the preferred method. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. If you have any questions, if you just want to offer opinions, you can do that. But you can also reach out with your life coaching questions. For instance, the guy last week, I believe his name was Justin, who wanted to know what he should do about dating a girl who was skinny with huge boobs, which he was concerned might be an issue for him. So that's the kind of questions you can ask us. You can ask us any kind of question you want. Reach out, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Additionally, via voicemail 949-464-TBLS. We actually did get a lot of jubilant Astros World Series voicemail, but it was kind of, we kind of lost the moment because we didn't have a normal show. We did our Karate Kid 2 review podcast that week, so I appreciate everybody that reached out and consoled me on my Dodgers loss and rejoiced in their own Astros victory. But, you know, we kind of lost the moment in terms of playing that stuff on the air. But I don't want you to be discouraged. That's why I bring it up. 949-464-TBLS. Like our Facebook page. That is so key. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. Go there. Become involved in the conversation there. And, of course, I read some reviews last week. iTunes. Go to iTunes, click 5 stars, tell us what you think of the show in a review there. That would be very much appreciated. And if you so desire, if you already are a patreon.com/theballerlifestyle contributor, you would have heard, and it hurt me last week to use the content I used for Patreon, but I wanted to do something special that only those people that contribute could hear, because I think it was like some of the funniest shit we'd ever done, where we discussed the most popular male Japanese porno actor who, spoiler alert, has some disease that makes him look like a little kid. So he's an adult, but he looks like a 6-year-old child, and he participates in Japanese porno. So if you're a patreon.com/theballerlifestyle subscriber, you can go there and listen to that portion of the show that we put up there, because it was pretty genius in my opinion. You know who was really funny on it? Co-host of the show, Ed Daly, who joins us now. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. A friend pointed out, was talking to me about that Chipotle guy that ate for a year straight there.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Some dude in Ohio, Midwestern Florida, had decided to attempt the world record for eating at Chipotle the most days in a row, which is just asinine that anyone even keeps track of that. But he was pushing for a year when we spoke last week. Do you have an update?
Yeah, well, my friend pointed out the thing that we missed that was very important. He was doing this during the E. coli scare. So he was probably trying to kill himself.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that he was undeterred.
Like, remember
by that.
Their shares were like their stock price plummeted, like they were closing stores. It was this whole thing. And this guy's like, no. Yeah. I'm never stopping. He was trying to kill himself.
Yeah, he might have. I mean, what if he did contract E. coli? Do you think he would just push through, like vomiting and shitting in his local Chipotle?
His name's Bruce Wayne. He was the Batman.
Yeah, Superman. He's impervious. He's basically a ninja.
There's one thing I wanted to talk about that I know people get real touchy when it somehow resembles politics, but this is a comedy show and some of the funniest shit has happened in comedy in the last week. Funny or frightening or whatever.
Right, in politics.
And there are like these are legit and don't, you know, get on me about mainstream media or whatever. Like Washington Post, Politico, like
lamestream media.
Yeah, legit news sources. These are some of the headlines or like main story ideas that I just, you know, I didn't put into the, you know, the show topics, but these are crazy. Just today I read that the recent Trump federal judge nominee used to hunt ghosts in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
He was a ghost hunter.
Yeah. He's also he didn't pass the bar and he's like
he's
judge material. Which doesn't ghost seem hunter. To matter.
That seems like something from the Dirty John daughter that girl would be into.
Right. Yeah.
Hunting ghosts.
Yes.
This was in, I think it was Politico. Yeah. Trump had the White House chefs try to recreate McDonald's double quarter pounder with cheese and a fried apple pie.
Oh, interesting.
Like he could have them make anything in the world.
Yeah.
And he just wants them to recreate McDonald's.
Also, you could just have McDonald's brought to you.
Well, I think that's what he eventually did. He had the Secret Service just go get it for him because he was so pissed off that the chefs couldn't make it as shitty and greasy as McDonald's.
Right. It's McDonald's is a very specific flavor. It's because it's got 70 pounds of sodium in every bite.
Right. Like it, but why would that be?
Right.
That like that's a you're at a rest stop or an airport.
Sure.
Like,
you're on the road.
That's not destination shopping.
No, for sure. It's just, any port in a storm. Also, just have a cheese. Like, can you just make me a cheeseburger? Like, you don't need.
I'm not opposed to a good cheeseburger.
No.
Right? It can be delicious, but like,
yeah.
Why would the goal be to make McDonald's? That's a sad burger.
I'm sure I've discussed on this show the period of time where I was a short order cook at Swenson's Ice Cream Parlor. And
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, I worked there. I cooked. And during that time, you know, I was like pretty much high the entire time. We would get bored in the kitchen and we would try to recreate the fast food burgers out of boredom. Like try to get the right patty size and all the ingredients.
You could never use enough salt though.
Obviously it wasn't the thing, but it, you know, you could get pretty close to the thing, but it was, the problem is like we had real ingredients with real meat and like
you're already
fucked
cheese up
and stuff. Yeah. It wasn't like,
yeah, you can't use real stuff.
Yeah.
Alt-right are boycotting Jim Beam because Mila Kunis is the spokeswoman and she said she was using some of her money to donate to Planned Parenthood.
So now they
can't drink whiskey?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Roy Moore story that he was banned from a mall for cruising teenagers.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And the best one is all these dipshits destroying their $200 coffee makers.
Oh, no, that's really good.
And like, the videos are like, share this. This will drive libs nuts. Like,
what are you destroying
like an expensive coffee maker? How does that? I mean, that doesn't affect anybody. Who? Just you. You're the only person it affects because now you can't make your expensive coffee.
I know you're not a coffee drinker, but those things make the worst coffee.
Oh, I thought I read they were like $100-$200.
No, they're very expensive because they're very
convenient. I'm not saying price means it's great.
No, it's a very convenient cup of coffee. It's an easy hot cup of coffee quickly, but it's like, so you don't have to like brew a whole pot of coffee or whatever, but they're, I don't like the coffee. It's interesting to me that like someone stops advertising on a show and you're like, boycott this fucking company. They stopped advertising. What about the millions of companies that never chose to advertise on that show, that boycotted by not, like, they did their own stop advertising by never starting. Are you, like, you gonna boycott them?
Well, I saw Andy Richter tweeted out, and he's like, sort of that same thing. He's like, well, you know, what about all the other companies that chose not to advertise with them in the first place? I think you should start smashing all of your appliances.
Yeah, that's right.
Just, but this whole boycott thing, like, corporations don't care about you.
No.
They opted to pull out of Hannity because he was defending a kid toucher, and that's not good for business for them.
Yes.
But they don't care.
No.
I mean, Peyton Manning shows up, whoever pays him. Papa John's, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, there are a couple companies with a conscience, but overall, you care about share prices. Like,
yeah, and they figured it out. Like, they know what's a good decision to make and what's, like, where to be, where to, what to align with.
Was so important for them, and being associated with him was so important, they wouldn't have pulled it.
Right. They want to be in front of certain eyes if it makes sense. But if it doesn't make sense, then they go find those eyes somewhere else.
I was talking to somebody about Under Armour, like they're disappointing, having a disappointing year, and they laid off some people.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, it's because the CEO aligned with Trump. It's like, no, it's because those Steph Curry shoes look like nursing shoes.
Yeah.
Like, that's why. Like,
they have design issues, I think. Like, Under Armour,
like, it's not,
their products are good.
It's not because.
But they're ugly. Yeah.
It's not because fucking, you know, Trump or anything. There are a million companies that support Trump that people keep shopping at. Like,
sure.
It's not that. But these people with their boycotts, who's getting upset by this? Nobody cares.
I don't know. Nobody cares. They forget after a while. I spent the weekend in Austin, Texas.
Oh, good town.
Oh my God, what a good town. That I went to the Texas-Kansas game. Watch my Longhorns whoop up on the Jayhawks. Is just so fun. The Texas campus, or, you know, surrounding area, they have tailgating just so fucking dialed in.
It's ridiculous. Spectacular.
Yeah, it's just these huge raging tailgates, like, every couple hundred feet, with fucking smokers going and beer and music, and it was so fun. I ate some good barbecue, hung out in the beer garden, went to the game. I mean, it's just so fun. I love that town. I for sure will be back soon. Thank you, Austin.
Yeah, I love it there. I went there. The only game I went to, it was Texas BYU. It was funny seeing all the pasty Mormons, like, wandering around the tailgate being like, oh my God.
Yes.
Look at those women. Like, they're all, their minds are blown.
Where can we get a Sprite?
Yeah.
It was a great time. I had a blast in Austin this weekend. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Quick email. Oh, also the local Austin scenery.
Yes, the talent is strong. God.
Fantastic scenery. Just really, really lot to look at down there. Okay, email. Brian and Ed, I was so angry with your decision to review Karate Kid 2 that I walked away from Team Current episode. Of course, he's talking about episode 193 of the show where we reviewed that movie. Go back and check it out if you haven't already. As a general rule, I don't do sequels unless it's The Godfather Part 2. After a week-long cooling-off period, I guess he's never seen Caddyshack 2, Ed.
Jackie Mason.
I went ahead and caught episode 193. Is there anybody more hot and cold than Dan Aykroyd? He's so bad in so many things, but he's also been great.
He doesn't say no. Right. Because the talent is clearly there.
Yeah.
But he just never says no.
Yeah, exactly. I went ahead and caught episode 193. So I'm back on the team. It was good to hear from Stevie LMU, special guest, Reality Steve, after so many years. And Jay Stu, well, he was Jay Stu. People love Jay Stu. His appeal is hard to put a finger on,
But they all love it.
People love him. At the end of the podcast, you briefly mentioned a Cobra Kai retrospective. Have you seen the Billy Zabka directed video from 10 years ago? They got the whole gang back together. I found it hysterical, but in some serious need of editing. And then he's offered the link. I'll never lose faith in you guys again. Adam near Sugarland, not to be confused with Adam in Sugarland. I don't know that I want to watch that. I feel like it would just be so sad.
I mean, the thing with Zabka is he was great. He played a great villain.
Oh, yeah.
But his character had its arc. So that's why this, like, this new show that they're filming with Macchio, like, I don't know. Like, he had the whole arc. And then, like, by the end, he was sort of, like, accepting. And he was a good guy. Like, he, you know, he was all right. And then, you know, they started him off in Karate Kid 2, just showing that he was, like, a regular kid and his teacher was a psychopath.
I would like
and
to.
And that was
it. Yeah. I would like to know if he, because what we learned from Steve in LMU when he was on the show was that the beginning of Karate Kid 2 was actually supposed to be the ending of Karate Kid 1. But considering it's a whole second thing, even though you don't have to show up and be in it, do you still get your full quote? Like, you, I think if they use you, they got to give you your number, right? They got to just...
I think that's true. They maybe, you know, they at least have to pay him something.
Yeah.
I remember there was a lawsuit for the guy who played Crispin Glover in the sequels.
I remember that too. I read about that when we talked about that movie on the show.
Yeah, they just hung him upside down so you couldn't quite tell it wasn't him. And he was wearing, like, older makeup. So, and he tried suing for that money because he's like, well, you're using my likeness. And somehow they just didn't have to pay.
And the guy that played McFly in the second movie, who was really playing Crispin Glover playing McFly, didn't he turned out to be somebody.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I think he was a known character actor. I could be wrong. We'll look that up. But yeah, I remember that. He had this McFly, Crispin Glover, who was odd, he had problems with the script. He didn't like the whole...
commercialism.
Yeah, he didn't like the commercialism. I don't think he was real comfortable with Biff the Rapist being sort of like brought back into the fold as the car washer.
Well, that's true. You wouldn't ask a rapist to go wash your car after. You would just want him in jail or far away.
He tried to rape his wife, his eventual wife, mother of his children.
But Adam's original point about, like, well, I couldn't do Karate Kid 2. I mean, we did the first one, which I liked.
Yeah.
Karate Kid 1 is a fun movie. Yeah. But overall, the goal is to pick those movies that really there's fundamental problems. You can't do Godfather 2. You can't do, like, a great movie.
No. What would you say about it? Like, oh, De Niro's amazing. He's playing young Marlon Brando and he's fucking so good.
Right. And as far as sequels, I agree for the most part, especially comedy sequels. Because if you do like James Bond, it could just be a new adventure. That's one thing. But comedy, they just tell the same jokes. It's terrible.
Well, the thing, what's cool about comedy, like, I never saw the second Anchorman. But what's funny about Anchorman is being introduced to all the characters. Like, that's what's funny. Like, once you already know who the people are, they can't do that again where you get to know them and how weird they are and funny they are. So they have to find a new way to be funny and it never works.
Right.
So yeah, it's almost impossible, but we don't review good movies on this show. Like, what's the, we did Soul Man.
Right. Although it does have a place. That was like this most recent one was the worst of the movies we've done.
Totally. By far.
The ones we're kicking around are impressive.
Yeah, we'll do more
for the next time. We're doing something pretty creepy.
Yeah, definitely. Also, it's Travis Rogers, sometime guest of the show, has announced he wants to review Fast Times at Ridgemont High on this show.
Although it's going to be tough.
It's a good movie. There are places that need to be discussed and mined. especially
Ratner.
The period. Yes. There's a lot like Ron from Damone. Pacific Stereo, Timone. Like, who's sexing Timone? Look at the guy. Like, it's shocking. A lot of shocking things happening there. So we will do that, but we appreciate the advice, Adam Near Sugarland. Thank you. Okay. Speaking of karate, so sport, what else is going on in the world of niche sports, Ed?
Well, Manchester United recently sent a scout to check out the Icelandic national team.
Man,
I'm guessing for potential players. I guess they just scout all these international games for the best players.
Right.
So the scout bought a plane ticket and showed up at the stadium in Reykjavik where nobody was playing. Apparently, the scout didn't realize Iceland's game was being played in Qatar.
Oh. Cutter.
Ryan. What year are we expecting the city of Manchester, England, to get the internet?
Also, aren't they like the most valuable sports franchise in the world?
Like, I think so. They like on those lists. They like beat the Cowboys.
Yes, like I feel like they would know when and where things are going down, and they would have like a travel department that wouldn't just be like, oh, Iceland's playing, must be in Iceland. Because, you know, these friendlies, that's what they're called, Ed, friendlies. These friendlies happen all over the place. You don't know where Iceland's playing. Speaking of Iceland, is anywhere hotter than Iceland right now? I mean, in terms of a travel destination, first of all, you went there like last summer or the summer before.
I went there last year, it was after a ton of people I'd already heard of. I'd gone there. I feel like once I've gone there, it's probably pretty played out.
Every week, it seems like I see somebody on Facebook that's like, off to Iceland, just got back from Iceland. Here I am in Iceland. Like, okay, I get it. Iceland. I mean, I'd like to check it out too.
I think what is cool about it is it's so different.
Yeah.
There are no trees. There's no grass.
No.
There's moss and volcanic rock. Like It just feels like you travel to the moon. It's just weird.
And the people are very nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're weird and odd. Yeah. But yeah, I'm saying, like, you go to Australia, and you're like, those are cool people. Like, right. They're fun to hang out with. These Iceland people, they're just like kind of oddball fishermen types.
Yeah. They eat some weird food, right? A lot of herring.
Yeah. A lot of pickled stuff.
Pickled things, yeah. So good for the gut. Okay. What else is going on, Ed?
All right. Former World Series MVP Josh Beckett was reportedly arrested in Texas after he jumped on stage and flattened the lead singer of a country band in an open mic night performance.
Yeah.
According to TMZ, the singer of the band told cops he suffered serious injuries to his arm, neck, and shoulder from the incident, including a torn rotator cuff and dislocated shoulder. Now, Beckett, I guess, was trying to stage dive and he dove the wrong way. So Brian, how effective do you think his dove in the wrong direction legal defense will be against the impending lawsuit?
I've been pretty drunk before. I've never been that drunk. Like if you're so drunk that you're tackling the lead singer at some open mic thing, like you have a problem with alcohol, right?
Yes, because there can be no thoughts going through your head. It's not like, hey, I'm going to take this singer out, because you've got a crowd of people staring at you, so you know you can't get away with it. It doesn't seem like he and the singer had some sort of beef.
No.
He was just that shit-faced.
You know how sometimes you get drunk and you invent scenarios in your brain, like you think... you think a situation is one thing and it isn't. Well,
he's very bro-y, right?
I mean, he's from Texas. I know that much.
Right.
And he's got,
I remember he was like a Boston Red Sox guy. Oh, and he was a Dodger too, right?
Yeah. At the end, they had to take, it was one of those deals. They wanted to get Adrian Gonzalez, and the Red Sox are like, you can have Adrian Gonzalez, but you got to take all our expensive shit. So here's Carl Crawford, here's Beckett, and they did it. I would definitely have some injuries if I were that singer too. You want to take a guess as to what Josh Beckett's career earnings were, Ed?
I feel like he didn't have quite as long a career as you would think, because he was great at the beginning.
Yep.
But, you know, those guys get paid. I'm thinking he got paid. Still, he got paid around $100 million.
Pretty close. He played 12 years.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like seven.
Yeah. You got to get through arbitration, so you can't really make any big money till after you get through arbitration. So, but then you get that one big contract. Everybody gets one. If you play well, you get one big contract. If you're lucky, you get two. He got one. He made, in his 12-year career, $116.5 million.
Oof.
That's pretty good.
You take that hit. If he's diving towards you, you make sure you act like you're taking a charge in the lane.
Yeah.
You're taking this one on.
For sure. You might have some life, some
rotator cuff.
Extended elbow trauma from that tackle that just might need, you might need physical therapy forever after that. I'm sure the alcoholic stupor was worth it. You know how sometimes you get drunk and you're like, oh my God. Did I say anything embarrassing?
Did I tear the rotator cuff of the singer?
Yes. Did I just cost myself $3 million? Okay, Ed, what else is going on?
Horse jockey Dylan Kaboch was riding She's Ronaldo's Girl at Port Lincoln Racehorse in Australia. The horse was being uncooperative, so Kaboch dismounted, turned on the horse, and punched it in the stomach. He suspended 2 weeks and offered this apology.
I want to genuinely, sincerely, and unreservedly apologize to everyone for my actions. I understand this was a completely unacceptable.
Now, the horse finished 8th out of 10. Brian, two questions. One, do you think the horse even felt the punch? And two, why are 95% of these horse names straight up garbage?
It's true. It's true.
She's Ronaldo's Girl.
So dumb. So dumb. Well, it's like, it's kind of like you watch the Westminster Dog Show Kennel Club dog show. And
isn't that like a Thanksgiving thing? Isn't that when they put it on?
I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if you run into it, it's hard to turn it off. Because
I feel like my mother-in-law is always watching it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You start to have favorites. You're watching it and you're like, oh, it's the Hound Group's coming up. Because you're like, fuck the toy miniature bullshit group. Like, fuck them.
Right.
But when those hounds come up and the working dogs, you're like, fuck, yeah. Look at that. So, you know, like, you start betting favorites. But they have to have a name. First of all, their name is like Fluffy or Steve. But their like professional name has to show their breeding. Like who they were sired by and all that. And I think that horse racing, they try to do the same thing where they're like this, you know, if someone was sired by Barbaro, they'll like put like a nod to Barbaro in the name. Look at me pulling a horse name out of my hat, by the way. I think that's like the
one. Is that the one that they killed?
I think they did, yeah. I think he
that's the one they shot on the track.
No, they kept him
or something?
No, they should have shot him on the track, but he had some valuable cum, Ed. So they had to try to keep him alive and then, you know, normally
just beat him off as much as possible. Yes,
normally a horse breaks his leg and you're like, oh, that's it. Like this can't, it needs four legs to walk around and one's broken. It's fucked. It can't live like that. But they try to keep that Barbaro's leg. They were splinting it. They were shooting it up, surgery. They did everything they could to keep that Barbaro standing on his own 4 feet so that he could fuck some mares later. I don't think it worked out though.
I think like for these names, I mean, Barbaro's pretty terrible. I don't even know. That must be, you know, related to somebody.
Exactly. Exactly.
But often it's, you know, if it's not like that, it's like paperwork on Fridays or eagle's eye, like something really lame.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe the best names are all the gay code names.
Oh, interesting.
Gentlemen of the Piers, three lengths ahead.
Diagonal sleeper
by a nose.
On the rail. Early botanist coming from behind.
It's midnight botanist down the stretch.
That's pretty good. No surprise, by the way, that a jockey tried to fuck up a horse, because there is no angrier, drunker, more cantankerous group of tiny people than fucking jockeys. Miserable. They're so, their lives are horrible because they're small, but they have to stay like extra small. So yeah, this guy's like 110 is like pushing it. It's like huge for a jockey. They got to really like puke themselves. They got a toilet in the locker room for puking.
It's only hard booze, right? Like that's all they can do.
Exactly.
Like that's it.
Yeah. They got,
They brush their teeth with that shit. Yeah, they are.
They love to drink because they're so angry, and it's a real cutthroat job. Like if you don't win, they're like, get the fuck out of here. And they put the groom on the horse. Like there's a few guys that are like superstars that are really good, but the rest of them are just fucking hoofing it to some track in West Virginia, like sleeping in the barn. It's a fucking hard life. And they're pissed. Like those guys are super pissed. What else? I saw some stuff I wanted to talk about. Oh, Jared update. Remember Jared in of all the unlikely pitchmen, Subway.
The guy with zero charisma.
Yeah, Subway. Somehow, I don't know how Jared was discovered, but. Somewhere,
he was like the Chipotle guy.
Yeah, that was his thing. Somewhere along the line, they found out that some guy at Indiana University who was like 500 pounds, like he wasn't Walter Hudson territory. Shout out to episode 194, by the way, our discussion of Walter Hudson. Like you're just not going to hear other shows talk about that. Right. He's only the sixth fattest human in medical history, Ed.
Right, we went through the list, right?
Yes.
Even Haystacks Calhoun made a mention.
There was a woman ahead of Walter Hudson on the list, and a dude from.
But she was tall. Remember, she was kind of tall.
She was 5'7". Yeah. and a dude from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of
PETA.
PETA, yeah. So somewhere along the line, somebody's like, "There's this guy at Indiana University, and he's like the RA in the dorm." And he used to be like 700, no, he was like 450 pounds. And he decided by some fucking stroke of genius that instead of like eating a bunch of McDonald's, Big Macs and shit, like pies, he's going to bounce out to Subway every day. And he's going to get a 6-inch sub for lunch. And for dinner, he's going to have a 12-inch sub. And he's going to do that every fucking day. And before you know it, he was just like sort of chubby. Like, by the way, this Jared, he was not like fucking Mr. Olympia. He was like a doughy piece of shit. Even at the peak of his powers, he was not like Mr. Fitness. No. But anyway, somehow this Subway brand, they've hitched their wagon to this guy. And like it was known that, you know, stories came out about him while he was at Indiana University that he had just the fucking killer porno collection for the millennials in the audience. You used to have to watch porno on these things called videotapes, and you would have to like fast forward, and it was, you know, back and forth, and it was not the ideal situation. But this guy had like this amazing collection of porno videotapes that he used to rent out. He had like his own porno Blockbuster in his fucking dorm room, which is a little weird, I think. But anyway, they still hitched their wagon to this guy, and he was making fucking big bucks pitching the Subway brand. He was in all the commercials. He'd go around.
And they went too far with him because then they couldn't get out of it.
Right. Yes, they were. Yeah, they were tied to him. He was the fucking spokesman. And he would go around, he'd open restaurants. He owned a bunch, which is just a fucking cash cow. I think Subway's the number one franchise in America, or at least it was for a while. And he was in on that. He owned at least a dozen Subways. So he was fucking in the mix. He would go out and talk about how he used to be a fat ass. And one thing he would do that would disturb me, Ed, is he would go around, he'd hold up those pants.
Yeah, the big pants.
He kept his pants from when he was a giant fat ass, and he'd go around and he'd hold them up, show them to people like, look how fat I used to be. And that was a little disturbing.
Yeah, a buddy of, or not a buddy, a guy I talked to that was like at one point worked on the advertising for Subway.
Yeah.
Said he was like, he was the biggest diva he worked with of like all the celebrities. Like, he had worked with a bunch of celebrities, and he's like, this guy was the biggest pain in the ass.
Number one.
And he was always cranky because they had to jam him in the Spanx before the commercials, because he really...
Yeah, he was doughy. Know,
that wasn't a sustainable...
Right.
I mean, he was... He just wasn't doing so well, so they had to just really wedge him into the Spanx before every commercial shoot.
And
he was super cranky.
Right, and a lot of people don't remember that Subway, at one point... They tried to bring along a new Jared, and this guy was more of an alpha.
Did they?
Yeah, he had the same like Midwestern appeal. Like, he was a nerdy white guy.
They tried to go Coy and Vance with him,
right?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, they were like doing concurrent spots. You had Subway, you had Jared spots, and then you had spots.
Bizarro Jared,
Clay Henry. Two first names.
I don't know about this guy.
Hell yeah. Clay Henry was out there. And Clay Henry was like a firefighter. And Clay Henry was like a fit Midwestern white guy. Much more healthy looking. And I think he also used to be a fat ass. I think that he had like the same backstory minus the porno dorm room. But this.
And gums.
Yeah, right. And the glasses and the underbite. But this. This Clay Henry, he just didn't catch on. And I can only imagine that this Jared, who we learned later, was sort of a vindictive cunt. You know, this Jared, he was not happy with Clay Henry, and he did what he needed to do to fucking stomp out this whole Clay Henry campaign. And before you know it, he was gone. Well, anyway, turns out Jared, among his love of sandwiches, he also had another love, and that was molesting children.
Oh, man.
And that is one of those things that you just do not want to tie your brand to. Like, of all the things you don't want associated with your sandwiches, number one, gotta be child molestation.
That's the worst.
Followed closely by Boston sports fandom. But so they find out this Jared, he's a kiddie diddler, the worst kind. He would like pay moms to like prostitute their teenage daughters to him.
Like take him across state lines and stuff. Like, he was really going for it.
And in retrospect, you learn about this guy. He wasn't really hiding it. Like, lots of people knew about his predilections, but apparently the right people didn't know, like his wife. But eventually they found out, and old Jared had to cop a plea, and he's doing hard time in federal prison now.
He got beaten up last year, right?
Yeah, he got his ass kicked at one point. But I think he's also, because he's rich from his fucking Subway days. Like, I'm sure he's gotten sued and whatnot, and he's paid out some settlements, and the wife divorced him, so she took a big chunk. But this fucking guy owned 12 Subways on top of the millions he was pulling in from his pitchman duties. So he's probably doing all right. And so he can run shit in the prison because he can pay for protection. But he's
you need to still, I mean, just because you have money, He's getting shaken down for that money. He's got to be paying a ton in protection money, right?
For sure. He's definitely. But you know how it is. Like, cigarettes go a long way in prison. Like, you you can probably
right. But they see Jared with his Gums and his Mickelsons, yeah, and they're true. Going to they're yeah. going to double the price, triple the price.
Yeah, but still, I feel like you could get somebody to really you could get the biggest toughest dude in there to watch your back for like $300 a week, maybe less. Maybe a couple hundred bucks a week. I'm guessing. I don't know. I've never done time in the federal pen, Ed. I'm just guessing. Hey, former federal prisoners that listen to this show, reach out. What kind of – I know – I'm pretty sure he went to like a – there's a name for it, like a special pedo prison down in Florida where it's like the pederasts are more safe because they're mostly among their own kind, so they don't –
Well, that's not good.
Well, it's better than the. It's probably easier for the people that warehouse the criminals to not have people trying to kill the pedos every day.
Yeah,
but it's despite his money, I'm concerned that Jared Fogle, Subway Jared, may be getting some questionable legal advice, Ed, because. It sounds like he's getting desperate on the appeals, so much so that he's going the Wesley Snipes route.
Oh, this government isn't in charge of me defense?
Exactly. He's declared himself a sovereign citizen and as such cannot be governed by the laws of any land or government.
You can't imprison me. I'm from Youth Grabistan.
I feel like, oh, that's good. I feel like there's a bunch of dudes in Montana with AR-15s on their lap right now and wearing all camo that are just nodding their head, like printing out
Clive their and own, Bundy. Yeah, those guys
printing out their own money, and they're like, "Yep, exactly. Yeah, this is good defense." If Fogle is now claiming to be sovereign. The Seventh Circuit has rejected theories of individual sovereignty, immunity from prosecution, and their ilk. Regardless of his theory, Fogle's challenge of this court's jurisdiction is rejected. So he struck out on that one, Ed. It may surprise you to hear that Fogle did not actually come up with this appeal on his own. Oh, he had a prison lawyer. He has a prison lawyer, Frank Pate, a former Scientologist, who's in for developing a Ponzi scheme targeting other Scientologists.
You believe in Scientology,
yes,
like really any defense seems like it makes perfect sense to you.
That's true. That's pretty much
like, well, that works for me. Of course, he's sovereign.
So strike two or three for Jared. Hopefully we'll hear from him soon. I don't know what's going on with his finances, but I am wondering if he got to keep the pants.
Well, maybe the next move is to take those pants and pull an Aaron Hernandez with them.
Like, you could all... do you think... Yeah, do you think... Do you think he can? Do you think he can like call for the pants? Like he's like guards. You know how like you can pay off the guards and shit. Like he runs his tin cup along the bars.
$300 if you look the other way and hand me my size 58s.
Just one last time, Charlie. Bring me the pants. Just bring me the pants. Friend of the show.
How do you think his physique is?
Oh, he's fat.
You know, no 6 inches, but now he gets shit on a shingle and all the gym time he wants.
Well, no, because you just get the food. You get your three hots and a cot in there, but you also get commissary where you can buy shit.
Oh, so he's just buying Doritos and shit with it.
Yeah, and it's like honey buns. The big one I know of from watching MSNBC is honey buns are the big ones. And that's like the big cash in there. Also, cup of soup. Very popular. You get some cup of soups that you can heat up in your cell. Get some honey buns. Use those as cash.
I'm not joking. I think I read the honey buns they were at a premium for different reasons.
Oh, really? Really?
Like, yeah.
Sexual.
I think I read that or saw that in one of these little documentaries.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, we'll see what happens with him, but I imagine he's going to come out pretty fast. I mean, he's going to get out. I think he only got Yeah. I mean, he got like 15 years, I think. And I don't know Let's look that up. Jared Fogle.
He'll be a pretty productive member of society when he gets out. I can see he really added a lot of value to Earth.
Yeah, he got 15 years in 2015. So,
like 5 years, he's out.
Yeah, he was looking at 50, and I don't know how how much time you got to do in the federal joint. But I would say like maybe 7 or 8.
Mm.
Oh no, with a minimum, he's got to do a minimum of 13 before becoming eligible for release. So somebody out there that keeps track of these things, put in your Google Calendar right now, 2028. Jared gets out of prison, and then we'll have a look at him when he gets out, because I imagine he's going to be pretty fucking fat.
Can't wait for his second act. He's a really interesting guy.
Yeah, he really is. Who could have seen that?
Write a book.
Here's from 2016. Jared Fogle has gained 30 pounds just 3 months into his prison sentence. Well, Ed, that was a year and a half ago. So 18 months. Mm. Times,
you might need those old pants for a different reason.
Yeah, 18 months, that's another 180 pounds. He's gained 210 pounds since he's been in prison. So the guy's over 400 pounds now.
That's Jared.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Okay. What else is going on here? I had some more stuff to talk about. Oh. Ed, remember a while back when, it's a few years ago, and this is not funny, but these people were on a Mediterranean cruise, and the captain of the cruise was some Italian dude.
Oh, and yeah, that was a rough story.
He had the skanky Russian girlfriend that he wanted to show off to. So he's while they're at dinner one night, he like tells the first mate or whatever, hey, so as we're cruising by this peninsula or whatever it is up here, wave to the pull close to the land in this big ass ship to my girlfriend so she can wave to some of her friends or something, I think was the thing. Well, the fucking ship hit some rocks because they came too close to the land, and the fucking whole bunch of people died. Like, the ship sunk pretty much. It listed over.
Well, he also like took off before, like, he tried to escape like a sixth grader who broke a window playing baseball in the backyard.
Yeah.
Like, thought if he just ran away, the problem would go away. I think he found,
you know,
didn't he like try to take off on a boat and like disappear?
Yeah. It's like, you know, Titanic, that movie that you love, the captain on Titanic, he fucking was like, I gotta hang out. Like, water looks pretty fucking cold. The ship's going down, but I gotta fucking die here on this ship because I'm the goddamn captain. I'm the captain now, I think he said. And but this captain,
Captain Phillips.
I get my movies confused sometimes. But this captain, Tom Hanks's New Hampshire accent in that movie. Oh my god.
I thought he was great in that
movie. I mean, he's Tom Hanks. Like, Tom Hanks can do no wrong. He's the best. Everyone loves him. We better not find out that he's like banging.
He's fucking grumpy.
Like, he's forcing like the craft service chicks and the PAs to like blow him in his trailer. I'll be super bummed out about that. But the accent, like, lose the accent is very distracting to me. Anyway,
well, I want to say that to a region of the country. Lose the accent.
I agree. How about the top middle? What's that accent all about? Like the Wisconsin, Chicago,
Midwestern.
Yeah. Oh, that thing needs to go.
You got the Fargo.
Yeah. Oh, those are kind of fun. I kind of like those ones.
They're kind of fun for a TV show, but can you imagine if you just have to do regular talking with them?
No, that would be awful. Yeah, if you had to hear that every day, oh, so grating. Well, anyway, this guy, he crashed the ship and killed a bunch of people. And like you were saying, he fucking jumped off. He did the opposite of what the Titanic captain did. He cut and ran. He's like, I'm fucking out of here with my Russian girlfriend. So recently, another cruise, and I didn't know you could cruise these places. Some cruise was rolling down the coast of the African continent, which seems like a bad idea because that's where Tom Hanks had his problems.
On the West Coast, though.
Yeah.
I think that this cruise is on the East Coast.
Oh, it is? Wait, isn't that Somalia's on the East Coast, isn't it? Yeah. Somali pirates, right?
Oh yeah, Somalia, you're right. That's the
Mogadishu,
horn, right?
Yeah. So they're
I don't know what
you know. They're rolling, this ship is rolling up the coast or whatever, and they're supposed to swing by Madagascar. But unlike the Italian captain, this captain, I don't know his provenance. He might have been Italian also. He's rolling up the coast, and they're supposed to stop in Africa or in Madagascar, which is apparently very beautiful. It's like one of these really untouched places. Like it got separated from the continent of Africa and just kind of did its own thing. But right. Early on. Very beautiful there. But unfortunately, one of the things that's not beautiful about it is there's a fucking wicked case of the plague going around right now.
Oh, yes. No. That's the problem. There's an upside to separating yourself from society because you're like, All right, well, we can be pristine. But if you don't have modern medical facilities and that kind of stuff, it can go the other way.
Exactly. So the captain's like, look, I know my kind have been known to go too close to places, but I'm gonna give a wide berth to this Madagascar. I'm in charge here. Yeah. I make the rules.
For sure.
And I'm gonna say, let's pass on that. Like, let's go to Cozumel or one of those chill places, you know, the Bahamas. We don't need to fuck around with any plague. Meanwhile, some Frenchman passenger, Elaine John,
oh, no.
53, he fucking raised a mutiny amongst all the passengers and was like, oh, no, fuck no. I need to go get one of those tall hurricane drinks on Madagascar. Like, you're stopping. I paid my money.
You don't understand. I want to see these zebras that talk like Chris Rock.
Yes, exactly.
I need a lemur that talks like Sacha Baron Cohen.
He was like, let's bounce over there and see the fucking lemur tribes that are running the island.
Right. You understand there's a fucking plague
there,
buddy.
The plague. And so meanwhile, he gets like all the other passengers to do like sit-ins and like bitch.
Like it's a fucking lunch counter in the South in the 60s.
Yeah. And he's like,
we need to see the plague.
Right. He tried to stage a coup claiming that the ship had become a floating prison because they couldn't go to Madagascar, which is kind of weird because like it's a cruise ship. So it was probably already teeming with illness, both known and unknown illness. And people were probably murdering their spouses left and right. And imagine like after.
What better way to murder your spouse than send them into a den of plague?
That's true. That's true. Maybe that was Elaine.
All right, honey, I just have to get something back in the room, but go ahead.
Maybe that was Elaine John's plan. It's like he had a wife murder plan. He knew about
my
the plague.
It's being foiled.
Yes.
I was going to feed my wife to the lion that talks like Ben Stiller.
Jean told Le Parisien, oh yeah, he goes to his hometown newspaper, things started to heating up. 150 euro when a major part of the trip is canceled and a drink on board costs 5 euro. That evening, we organized a protest in the restaurant. There were 60 of us banging our fists on the table to alert the other cruise passengers. This con job. Con job? He didn't want you to die. More than 1,200 people on Madagascar.
So is he implying that he would get cheaper drinks right. on land yes, at Madagascar?
Plague-filled drinks.
Give me the finest glass of plague. Yes.
Extra ice.
Chateau de plague.
Extra bacteria infused ice, please. More than 1,200 people on Madagascar are infected with the deadly plague, which the World Health Organization has warned could spread easily across the region. Oh, yeah. Let's fucking put it on a boat and then bring that boat to a real place.
Right.
Like, not a good idea.
Let's go to a modern city.
Exactly. Warnings have been issued for 9 countries surrounding Madagascar, including cruise hotspots, the Seychelles, and... I always have a hard time with this one. Mauritius. Mauritius? Are you sure?
I don't know. Either. I'm just going. I did see somebody recently, like in the last year, I saw pictures of Seychelles or whatever it's called. That place is spectacular looking.
Yeah, that's where they ended up. That's where the ship went to instead. It cruised the Seychelles, which is just fucking beautiful. Anyway, don't go on cruises. We've talked about that on the show many times.
Right.
But
if you're on the cruise, don't get off the cruise so you can go into a place teeming with the Black Plague.
Right. There's already enough things on the ship. Did you see, like, I've never been on a cruise, but they look like the Den of Horror. No. Didn't we talk about on this show the electrician that got cut in half by the cruise?
Yeah, the blood was pouring down
by the cruise elevator.
like a horror movie.
And do you think because they couldn't refill in Gascar that they ran out of food like 20 minutes later? Like
what food?
They need those stops.
Please. I need a banana, an infected banana, please.
Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite stories that we've talked about in quite a while. I posted a link today to the Baller Lifestyle Facebook page.
Well, sometimes we like to spotlight heroes.
Some just beautiful human being. I don't know if this is an inside job, because I think it might be like at a ski resort, but it's not, you know, it hasn't... snowed yet. This is in Austria. Hold on, I've lost the story. Somebody went up to a 6,200 foot peak in Austria and erected like a 5 foot by 2 foot wide, it's got some girth to it, wooden cock standing upright. Go to our Facebook page, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. And look at this beautiful wooden, it appears to be uncut. Would you say uncut, Ed?
I'm going to look again. I thought it was.
No, that's cut. What I mean. No, cut. I'm sorry. I get those confused. It doesn't appear to have any foreskin, which.
Yeah, there's a clear helmet.
Which makes you wonder, was it a German that did this? Was it an Austrian? Or were they trying to throw people off the scent? Were they trying to blame the Jews? Yeah.
Blame it on the
Jews.
I've done
that before, Ed. It wouldn't be the first time.
Austrians have been known to do that.
somebody hiked up there. No one has claimed responsibility for the surprisingly realistic monument, which stands several feet tall. Yeah, it's about 5 feet tall, I'd say. Though impressive relative to the overall size of the mountain, the sculpture is rather modest. I mean, it's not, it could be bigger, but they had to get it up there.
It's pretty impressive. And it's near a cliff.
It's way up. So somebody either had to,
it's a death defying.
Somebody had
dump.
To hike it up there. it's fucking probably weighs at least a few hundred pounds. It's like a wooden.
It's yeah, solid
it's like a,
wood.
It's like a log that's been carved to look like a dick. And it's a nice looking dick. It's pretty symmetrical. It's got a good head.
Yeah, I think it's a nice looking dong. It's a literal and figurative wood.
There's pictures of it, like I said, on our Facebook page. It's a big thing all over the internet. It's 6,200 feet in the air, and it's supported by rocks at its base. But apparently, the mountain people, the ski lift people, are like, "Hey, you better go up there and check it out, because as soon as the snow comes, it's gonna probably blow over or roll down the mountain or something."
There's gonna be a second part to the story. Yeah. Because that thing is heavy enough that if that's going downhill,
yeah,
that dong could take out, like, that could cause a car accident.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
it could be pretty dangerous. You know how they, like, have to, when the snow builds up, they have to, like, shoot it with a cannon so a natural avalanche doesn't start?
Like, cause mini avalanche.
They might have to do, like, their own cock-a-lanche with this thing. Like, because it's just too dangerous. Or
you ride it like a toboggan.
Here you go. Yeah, you get a couple broads on it. You put strap.
Oh, that would be spectacular. Yeah,
strap
video.
Nail some skis to the bottom of it, some planks, and just kind of get on there. Put some reins on it, a little handle, and just.
Or have like a James Bond porn parody, and then just have somebody go down.
Give it a like proper send off. I mean, it's just such a beautiful icon. It's like a drawn dick, but like 1,000 times better. It's like the Stonehenge.
How long do you think it took to make that? I mean, to make like a like almost human size, like it's got to be like 5-6 feet.
It's nice looking, but like, those guys in Alaska can carve a full totem pole with a chainsaw in like an hour. So I don't, really? I mean, obviously.
I was thinking this would take like.
No, well, I mean, it depends on the kind of tools you have, what kind of craftsman you are. I don't want to insult this guy's ability.
Hey, what are you working on there?
Dieter! What is your next project? I can't wait to see. Are you making another beautiful credenza for the parlor?
Franz, I like the curved top to this. What are you creating? It almost looks like a tall mushroom. What is this?
It appears to have a helmet. Are you creating a beautiful tribute to our fallen comrades in World War I?
Oh, yeah. Gert, is that a doughboy helmet you've created?
Gert! That's pretty good. All right, Ed. It is time for our very own Fancy Sauce to join the program. It's the pop culture segment. It is the part of the show that everybody enjoys. She comes in like a house of fire. She causes a ruckus. She makes a bit of noise, but she brings the heat when it comes to gossip, celebrity news, all sorts of unfortunate celebrity news these days. Really?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like week. People that say we've gotten too political, now I sort of agree with them, but it's because I don't want to hear any more celebrity goss, because it's all just so depressing. We'll see what she has for us today. Of course, it is Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
Hey, guys. I didn't make a racket today. Oh, I was very quiet as a mouse.
Well, a lot of times I don't know.
It went stealth. I mean,
you didn't even know I was here, did you?
You didn't. Like, I don't know. A lot of people will point it out to me. They'll be like, "Hey, that really good at the 112 mark when Fancy Sauce like put her coffee cup down or."
Yeah, like keep that. It exciting. Yeah, no, keeping it real.
It's really good. I believe we have a quick email before we get into your segment, Kate. Let's see here.
Okay.
Hey, Baller Gang.
Hey.
I am writing to apologize to you. Last month, I sold a vintage stereo on eBay and I brought it to a UPS store to ship it safely. The idiots did not wrap it properly, and it was damaged in transit. Because of this, the buyer filed a dispute with eBay, and he is totally justified. But because of this, my PayPal account has been frozen, so my latest Patreon contribution was not processed. I will get this fixed.
I was wondering about that.
ASAP, so you can get the cash you richly deserve. Really enjoyed Karate Kid 2 podcast. Another triumph. Chuck, a.k.a. Snowjet SST, a.k.a. hero Chuck. In my book.
Yeah, Chuck, you're a hero, and good luck on you know, getting it cleared up. I mean, that is a profitable business, ripping people off on eBay.
How dare you?
I hope you get back on your feet.
I hope this doesn't affect your seller rating.
Yes.
Because I'm very, like,
Kate McManus is paranoid about super protective of her seller rating.
100%.
I've never sold something on eBay. Yeah, I've bought and sold,
but it's hard when you're not, if you don't have a store on eBay, like, people don't trust you. If you're just selling your shit like OG, using eBay in the spirit in which it was intended, of people just selling their shit from their house, people are kind of like leery of you because you haven't sold 10,000 things that month.
Well, the thing, they encourage you to leave feedback for people.
Yeah, always leave
so
feedback.
People leave feedback and then you have like, if you have a good rating like I do, 100%.
Yeah, of course you do.
Five-star seller, people will buy from you.
That's right. You got to be out. Yeah, you got to have a good rating. It's just crowdsourcing.
Like one time, in the early days of eBay, I bought a t-shirt that I thought was extra large, and it was toddler extra large.
Was it your, was it your mistake? I one time...
Because it was way before kids, and so I get this thing in the mail. I felt pretty...
I one time, I've forgotten about this, I bid on some golf clubs and won. And I was like, oh, I got a smoking deal on these golf clubs. And I went back to like send my shipping info and saw that the clubs I had won were left-handed. And I am not left-handed, so I had to immediately reach out and go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Please don't kill my rating, but I'm not... I made a mistake in this bid. Very, very stupid of me. Also, this guy, Chuck, a.k.a. Snowjet SST, he really got me interested because I happen to love vintage stereo equipment. It's one of my passions.
It is.
And it's good because Chuck sells a lot of broken shit. So
the thing is, if you're shipping a vintage stereo receiver, the shipping alone can be a few hundred dollars because they're so fucking heavy and you got to pack them. So I asked him if this was a Marantz, which is kind of like the gold standard in vintage stereo receivers. And he one-upped me. He said, no, it was actually a Pioneer SX-1250, which many of you will know might be the greatest stereo receiver ever made. So... thoughts and prayers, Chuck, on your loss and to the buyer of your thing. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in fancy pop?
Okay. I have some O.J. Simpson news.
Oh, the juice. He's on the loose.
Yeah.
The juice is definitely on the loose.
Do you think, since he's been out, has he... fucked like every minute since he's been out, and also he's got to pay for it, right?
He's,
or do you think there's
only sex skanks now?
Right, there's it would have to be prostitutes, right? Because not a regular chick.
Well, there's like, some regular crazy
some chicks.
Broads
some
out
chicks
there.
Would fuck him for the story.
Yeah, there's yeah. some crazy.
That's not
there's
a story
some crazy
wanna,
people out
yeah.
there.
I mean, he had girlfriends. He's had many girlfriends since you know he murdered those two people. So
that's true.
Yeah. Okay, what's going on? Kate?
So apparently, according to premier news source TMZ, where I get a lot of my world news
it's
from.
It's one of the better
he was at the Click Bar
sites.
In Vegas at around midnight Wednesday when he drunkenly started arguments with hotel staff who called security after glasses broke. Security escorted Simpson out of the building where he's now no longer welcome.
Yeah.
Apparently, Simpson's claiming this is untrue.
Well, I mean, glasses were broken, and this guy has shown that he's not afraid to both stab.
If you're banned from a hotel in Vegas,
yeah,
you probably did something.
Having O.J. Simpson, having it be known that O.J. Simpson likes to hang out
at the Cosmopolitan, yeah, at your hotel.
I think I'm not really super familiar with Vegas anymore, but I think Cosmopolitan might be like a pretty nice hotel. I don't think they want to be known as the place that O.J. Simpson hangs out.
Yeah, so probably not.
Good for them around broken glass. He will do something to get himself in trouble again, although he's in his 70s now, so he could, you know, come down with ALS any day.
But you don't want to be the guy that he tests.
Oh, no.
Tests out, like, to see if he still has the murdering in him.
That's for sure. You definitely don't.
I've got good news for you two.
Oh, well, yes.
You two Lord of the Rings fans.
Oh, no. Ooh. Yes?
In its quest to launch a hit fantasy series of the Game of Thrones caliber, Amazon has closed a massive deal said to be close to $250 million to acquire global rights to Lord of the Rings. Based on the fantasy novels by J.R.R. Tolkien, which I read when I was a youngster.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
the first movie,
really good.
When people are making a big deal, like the
the movies have been made, all five of them.
It's basically series length. There was three.
Why do we need a CGI-heavy TV show when we've had the CGI-heavy movies?
Yes, Ed, you were not in on the first movie.
Well, I watched it because I was like, I got to check this out. And it was like 3 hours of people hiking. Yeah. It was fucking terrible.
I mean, that's the whole...
There's so many, many hills. Like, that's all... I just
Gollum, and what's the dragon's name? There's a fucking dragon that they have to kill. Like, there's all sorts of cool shit.
You're looking at the wrong person. But I just want to stress...
I hated that movie more than...
Really? Interesting.
What about the Hobbit movies, Ed? Were you all in on those?
No, I did gut out that first like 3 hour movie, and then that was it.
But I do want to stress that Amazon has paid $250 million just for the rights before any cost for development, talent,
they
production.
They have all the money.
I mean, that's an insane amount of money just for rights.
They got nothing but money.
The Tolkien estate shopped it around to Amazon, Netflix, and HBO, and Amazon One.
Is your countryman Peter Jackson going to be involved? Because you're going to need him.
He's a Kiwi.
You're going to need him. He's a Kiwi, Kate. Is your countryman.
Such a funny joke.
Peter Jackson.
Did his staples stick or is he big?
I don't know. That's funny.
Yes. Do you think he goes around with the pants, Ed?
Did he drink enough milkshakes to burst through it?
Do you think he got he got gutted? That was a known thing.
Peter Jackson. Yeah,
Peter Jackson.
He went from like extra large to small.
I sort of remember that. He won a lot of awards. And I'll say this. The first movie I was kind of in on. I thought it was kind of badass.
The hiking one?
Well, they're all hiking ones. Then the second and third, I think, played out.
Oh, my God. He looks like a totally different person.
He's all skinny, right?
Well, this is from 2011.
Oh, well, that was a while ago. Then the second and third one was a whole long, it was two movies of hiking, Ed. And then at the very end, the fucking wizard I can't remember who, somebody jumps on the back of an eagle and flies to the top of a mountain, which is pretty cool. Except why didn't you just do that in the fucking first place? Why didn't you call
they needed to hike rather than hike up the hill. Well, they could have just rode an eagle.
If you want to lose weight, Peter Jackson apparently has been living a healthier lifestyle.
Subway diet.
Ever since he undertook a grueling 10-month production shoot for the 2005 blockbuster King Kong. He says, I just got tired of being overweight and unfit, so I changed my diet from hamburgers to yoga to muesli, and it seems to work.
Muesli?
As a result of that simple change, Jackson says he lost more than 70 pounds after shooting King Kong.
But he got fat again.
Oh, I don't know if he got fat again.
He started drinking your... more of that Steinlager that you guys are known for in
We're not known for
Stein Lager.
Yeah,
your funny national beer.
Funny.
Okay, Kate. What else is going on in the world?
Oh, let me tell you. Let me update you on all the creepers in Hollywood.
Oh, because my God.
Every day it's somebody else being rolled out.
Yes.
So we've now heard that Louis C.K. has been accused by 5 women of sexual mm-hmm. misconduct.
Well, he admitted, right?
He admitted it. He wrote what I thought was more of a damage control statement than a heartfelt apology.
You're saying he's insincere.
I felt apology. Like it was manipulative. It lacked the phrase,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yes. Or I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And it just felt a little manipulative. And he tried to say, I learned later in life about the power dynamic that I was exploiting.
Yes.
I don't believe that. I believe you knew exactly what you were doing. And that you were getting off on what you were doing at the time you did it. I don't think you later figured it out. So I felt like that was bullshit. And I wish someone would just come out.
I think it was fully creepy.
I wish
someone
would just come out and say, I get off on exploiting women because I have more power than they do in this situation. Just say it. Everyone knows
I'm not sure that's his thing.
What?
I don't know. I get it's fully creepy and
you don't think what's his thing, making women feel uncomfortable by jerking off in front of them?
Like 02 and 03?
Yes. That's
weren't the incidents from a long time ago? So it does jive with the timeline saying I realized this was like I feel like a lot of this was happening. I mean, who knows? It could have been happening until last year or this year, but the things that the Times had, those were like a long time ago.
My thing.
But these stories have been floating around for a long time.
Yeah, he should have definitely. He
right from incidents.
But instead,
a long time
he's
ago.
Had his manager and his lawyers discrediting these women's claims for years.
Yeah, that was
so
a mistake.
He can fuck off.
Yeah, I would say though.
Ran over.
I would say though that I don't know. It's. The timing is definitely bad because this is like, he's awash in all these rape stories and.
Right. This is different from fucking Weinstein.
This is different.
It's different.
It's still wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
It's still sexual harassment.
100%.
He still knew he was sexually harassing these women.
Yes.
And that was part of what people get off on when they do this kind of thing.
Yes.
And I just think like he should have been a little bit more honest about it.
He definitely should have gotten out in front of it because he's washed in with these other people.
And he also praises his manager.
I agree it's wrong, but what if this happened a long time ago? Aren't you supposed to, I mean, at this point, if you learned it's wrong, like if that's true, like, are you supposed to say, hey, I did this? Like, but, you probably don't want to say that.
Just I don't know. You're not supposed to wait till you get caught.
Until 2 weeks ago, people got away with this shit all the time. I'm just saying, from his perspective, like, the freight train is rolling. Like, if he hadn't gotten caught for something 15 years ago, maybe you just keep... I mean, we don't know if he kept doing it. But I'm just saying, like, for an old incident, why get in front of it if nobody gets caught doing this shit until the, like,
I mean
month.
There was people definitely were talking about it was like a known thing, and I just feel like he's probably in a lot of ways like very relieved that it's come out because it was probably hard to live with for all those years knowing that it would eventually come out. But
I'm sure as soon as Weinstein came out, I'm sure
I think Louis will come back. I feel like people will forgive him.
I think so
this
too.
Is in the Woody Allen category.
It's not even not
of
no, because Woody Allen's been accused of molesting his own daughter.
Yeah, no,
No. But that there was no real evidence on that one.
His daughter said my dad molested
out by
me.
Him is the Sunni.
I know his
thing.
Daughter. His
yes,
daughter,
she did.
His daughter,
Dylan.
Yeah,
but the timeline didn't. It was Ronan saying it, and
she made a statement.
Also,
about it.
He married his stepdaughter. Like I don't like Louis. Yes. Not as bad as
but
Woody
I'm
Allen.
Saying that's super creepy and weird. But like nobody has him for a crime, which is what I think ultimately happens with Louis. If you're talented enough, like this kind of goes away. Whereas if you're like caught raping someone,
of course,
I just think that that's the thing that sticks with you. He'll just be the weirdo.
It's who's creepy talented. And it's awful, and he should be more contrite. But he didn't rape
his
anybody.
His faux apology pissed me off.
Yeah. Okay. Just what else, Kate?
About it. On to the next one.
Oh, okay.
So Gal Gadot, who played Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so hot.
She is refusing to sign up for a superhero sequel unless the movie maker, Brett Ratner, who produced the first Wonder Woman, is killed from the franchise.
Yeah, good for her.
They can't make another one really without her. They could try to replace her, but I think part of the film success was that she was...
No, that movie did so well.
You have to have her, and she's wielding her power like so many men do in Hollywood, so good for her.
You know, that movie's grossed more than $400 million internationally.
It's a woman director, woman star. Right,
when you make that kind of money, like, the star is calling.
You got your chance. They'll get somebody else to come in and fund the thing.
Yeah, so she wants Warner Brothers to buy Brett out of his financing deal with him and get rid of him before she will sign on to... do another one. We've got just ultimate creeper hot mess Tom Sizemore, a story about how he was removed from a movie set from allegedly violating
this is new
an 11-year-old girl.
It would be surprising if Tom Sizemore wasn't in this.
He is
this is really gross.
Such a good actor.
So apparently he's good. I think they were doing some reshoots on this movie where he had to have the young girl that played his daughter sit on his knee in a nightgown. Oh, and she said that he, it sounds like he may have touched her and even penetrated her with his finger.
Oh my God.
While she
was
sitting
on his butt. Is that what
the story says? Yeah.
Okay.
So
not good anymore. This is such a bummer.
It's just all so horrendous.
Spacey's done, right? Spacey was trying to rape underage boys.
Spacey will never work again.
You don't come back
from
that.
That's over.
It's crazy to think that the guy was a movie star 2 weeks ago, and he's not. He'll never be in anything ever again. Mm-hmm. Shit he's in, they're reshooting the parts with him.
And they're replacing him. That's crazy. Right, yeah.
But I would say the difference in a guy like Spacey was he was a super talented actor, but he wasn't like a bankable force. Like people didn't show up for everything he did because
But he was a good, solid character actor.
But I'm just saying
draw.
Those guys can disappear.
I mean,
if Tom Cruise, we found out that he was taking shots at young boys, that guy has a better chance of getting in another blockbuster. Kevin Spacey, the world doesn't really need him. He's a great actor, but there are other great actors. He's not a bankable force. He's just gone because the world doesn't need him.
He's gone. We're not going to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's could face charges. Like, he could go to prison, theoretically.
And I have one last creeper alert.
Uh-oh.
Celebrity hotelier Andre Balazs.
This is...
Do you know who this is?
He's Uma Thurman's boyfriend.
Do they
have children?
Celebrity hotel. I mean, come on. No, that's not a celebrity, is it?
I mean, he kind of is.
He runs in those circles. I want to say he's produced movies too. He's a big cash guy.
So apparently
he owns the Chateau Marmont.
And not that long ago, November 2014, married actors Jason Bateman and his wife Amanda Anka attended a dinner party in London for the premiere of Bateman's movie Horrible Bosses 2. And I'm just trying to figure out. So I guess Amanda was climbing up something.
He was giving a tour.
Yeah. And she was climbing up
something. They had to climb
ladder.
A ladder or something.
Maybe they were going
the
onto a roof.
Yeah.
He had her go in front of her. And he was right behind her, he reached up inside her skirt and groped her crotch.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Bateman became aware and
last week the couple confirmed the incident, but in a statement released by their publicist,
Bateman's a national treasure.
He's the best.
Confirming that the account of Andre Balazs's outrageous and vile behavior on that night in London is factual. His actions were dealt with at the time, apparently.
Is he still Uma Thurman's boyfriend? Do they have children?
Mr. Bateman at the time confronted the hotel owner spitting gum in his face.
That's right.
And the Batemans hastily left the hotel.
Other than Jason Bateman being a gum chewer, there's he really can do no wrong in my book.
I agree.
And I was very happy to see him sitting field side during the Dodgers.
There's other incidences in this article. I'm not going to read them all out, but he has, you know, this kind of behavior is something that he's been perpetrating for a while.
He's not a celebrity. His hotels might be celebrities.
I mean, he's a known guy. He's
just a rich guy.
He's a rich guy, but
that means everybody.
Well, he's like in Us Magazine. Also like I mean, you can be a celebrity chef. You can be a celebrity hotelier.
He's a celebrity.
A celebrity hotel or restaurant owner.
Arky Boussan.
Aki Boussan.
I'm the arbiter of who's a celebrity.
He's Steve, celebrity. who's the guy that put a baby in Elizabeth Hurley? Steve
Bing.
Bing. Stephen Bing. He's on that level.
Oh, ex-roommate Ding Ding Ding. Oh, used God. To sex Steve Bing.
Steve Bing. He's a billionaire. She should have held on to him.
Oh, she tried.
Yeah. Is he allowed?
Yeah. How's he? Yes. Can you speak to his coming ability? He
didn't
come over.
Chilling at our apartment. He lives in a suite at the Four Seasons.
How loud are her bings? His bings. That's pretty good. Okay, Kate. What else is going
that's
on?
That's my roundup.
That's it? So depressing.
Yeah, sorry.
Jeez.
Just a bunch of
my God. Men.
Wow.
Way to end on a high note.
Well, we did have that OJ story. That was.
I've been hearing all this thing about Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Who is he? Ed?
He's a rapper.
Ed, you're a hip-hop aficionado.
He's a rapper that's doing some time for a probation violation,
he's going
I
back.
Believe.
He's going to prison, and he's already been in prison.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick has
largely underwhelming.
Colin Kaepernick's on that. He's talking about the injustice of how many young men of color, black men, are incarcerated in this country for, not... Just small violations.
I think that is certainly a discussion to be had.
Crack versus powder cocaine.
But one thing I will say back to these scandals, I have seen a crazy amount of stories like, hey, why didn't Jon Stewart, why wasn't he more, apologetic? And it's like, he believed his friend and his friend, lied, but like, what is it on Jon Stewart that Louis C.K. was really, a real deal?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody asks you about your friend and you laugh it off, that's not your fault that, he turned out to be a real shit. Like, I don't know. I've seen, a few of these. Like, oh, I can't believe, silence from this guy. Like, why is that on him? He can do whatever he wants. That's Louis C.K.'s problem, not Jon Stewart's problem.
Mark Maron talked about that on his podcast, where he was like, he'd heard the rumors too, mm-hmm. and he confronted Louis about him, and Louis said that it wasn't true and that he wouldn't address it because it would turn into a bigger thing. And,
right.
And I imagine that was a lot of his friends.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody should be held accountable for somebody's shitty behavior. That's
personal
that's,
responsibility.
That's... On the shitty person.
Okay. Depressing end.
Well, And I've heard a lot about the Roy Moore allegations.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a real piece of shit.
And that these allegations these allegations will probably galvanize his supporters. Yeah. And Alabama, the South of the South, will really pull through again and elect him as a senator.
I think
it's important to remember that he was the most horrendous piece of shit before we found out he was a kid toucher.
There you go.
The most racist, homophobic piece of shit.
Well, when Kentucky's own Mitch McConnell, who's a massive piece of shit in his own
right,
says, oh no, fuck this guy. I don't want to be associated with him. There you go. Okay.
Thanks,
that's it.
Guys.
Excellent job. Thanks, Kate. Ed Daly, excellent job. For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 195 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.